Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. In today's episode, we spoke with Alexander I. Spira, MD, PhD, FACP, FASCO. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Spira discussed the significance of the December 2025 FDA approval of amivantamab and hyaluronidase, also known as subcutaneous amivantamab, for the treatment of patients with EGFR-mutated non-small cell lung cancer across all approved indications for amivantamab. He noted key data from the pivotal Phase 3 Paloma 3 trial, which showed that subcutaneous amivantamab combined with lazertinib had a more favorable safety profile compared with intravenous amivantamab plus lazertinib and was not inferior to the intravenous formulation in terms of efficacy. Dr. Spira contextualized these findings within the larger EGFR-mutated non-small cell lung cancer treatment paradigm and explained how this formulation of amivantamab addresses a previously unmet patient need. Speaking about the FDA approval of subcutaneous amivantamab plus lazertinib for EGFR-mutated non-small cell lung cancer, what is the significance of this approval and how does it address some unmet needs for patients with this specific disease subset?
Sub-Q amivantamab, I think, has two major advantages. One, of course, is time. You know, patients are coming into the office very frequently. The IV infusions were a long duration, so it helps clear up chair time from our oncology offices, which of course is very short, but more importantly, it's very helpful for patients who don't want to spend time with us. They'd rather spend it with loved ones. The other major advantage is decreased risk of infusion-related reactions, which we could get by in all our patients with the IV formulation, but could be scary, could be sometimes challenging to deal with. Very rarely a patient would not be able to continue, and it really abrogates that very well as backing off on some of the pre-meds a little bit quicker as well. So it's a win-win, both in terms of time, as well as side effects and toxicity.
That being said, this approval was based off of findings from the Paloma 3 trial. So just for a bit of background here, can you briefly discuss the design of this trial?
The Paloma 3 study was a clinical study comparing the use of subcutaneous versus IV amivantamab. It was really to generate equivalence data and in a format that was much more easily to administer, of course, IV versus subcutaneous. It showed efficacy that was, if anything, probably better with subcutaneous versus IV, as well as very similar pharmacokinetics, and essentially showed that one can give subcutaneous amivantamab without sacrificing any efficacy at all. Again, possibly more efficacious. The study wasn't powered for that, but really showed us that we could give sub-Q ami and patients would do just as well. And the applications are not just for those patients in the Paloma 3 study, but it's for anybody getting amivantamab. So we'll hopefully be able to apply this to patients getting it on a papillon regimen for exon 20 or any other regimen where amivantamab might be given.
So I know you talked about safety a little bit, but is there anything else that you wanted to add about some of the safety benefits that are really specific to this subcutaneous administration?
Yeah, the safety doesn't really affect the cutaneous side effects or anything like that, which is a topic for another conversation, but it's really focused on the infusion-related reactions.
Based on this approval, where does this subcutaneous regimen fit into the non-small cell lung cancer treatment paradigm, especially considering the availability of IV amivantamab plus lazertinib for the same indication?
Every patient should get it. I mean, there's no reason, barring insurance issues that are currently being worked out because it is a new drug, getting people on the schedule, et cetera, and still not making its way around the country. But anybody who's a candidate for amivantamab, in my mind, should be getting subcutaneous amivantamab, number one. Number two is for patients and physicians. They're anxious about infusion-related reactions. There have been some clinics that wanted to send patients getting amivantamab to centralized clinics, or patients that didn't want to spend all their time. And let's face it, our patients are on a limited life expectancy and they don't want to be sitting in the office for many hours. This really abrogates that. So patients that you may not have considered for amivantamab based upon that can now be considered for amivantamab in my mind. And secondarily, just from a convenience standpoint, everybody should be getting the subcutaneous formulation.
You mentioned that the Paloma 3 trial wasn't powered to show, you know, improved efficacy with the subcutaneous formulation or anything like that. But is there any further question regarding whether this could have more improved efficacy with the subcutaneous formulation or any future research going in that direction or any other direction that you would like to highlight?
I don't think there's going to be any studies looking at this because, I mean, it's a very time-consuming and using a lot of resources to demonstrate overall survival. But the study actually showed that survival may have been improved with the subcutaneous instead of the intravenous formulation. It was not completely expected, probably actually unexpected and unclear as to exactly why. I don't think studies should be done, but I think we should just take it as what it is, that there may be improved outcomes, certainly not any worse outcomes when we're explaining it to our patients.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air. Check back throughout the week for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On X and Blue Sky, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.